Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Audacy podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Audacy app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The police chief of the city of Minneapolis, Brian O'Hara, is here. Brian has joined us a number of times before. He is here, like all our guests, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He doesn't tweet that often, but he did, in his view, in his criticism, on the pardons that Donald Trump signed off on last week in relation to January 6th, in particular to those individuals who committed violence towards police officers. He had an accompanying op-ed. It is worth reading. I'll just read just a part of it and bring Brian in the conversation. The violence on January 6th was not an attack on a building. It was an attack on the rule of law. Officers were choked, sprayed with bear spray, pepper spray, beaten with metal poles, batons, and police shields. They were crushed and pinned in doorways and tased repeatedly. Many suffered lifelong injuries, physical and psychological. Brian, thanks for coming on. This is something that obviously means a great deal to you. Why did you decide to speak out as publicly as you did?
Hey, good afternoon, Chad. Thank you for having me again. it was just very disturbing to me, how quickly this happened, and it seemingly just kind of glossed over. Violence against police, particularly on the level that happened on that day, cannot be excused, and it absolutely cannot be normalized. The time that this happened, I was the public safety director in Newark, New Jersey. One officer working for the Capitol Police was from New Jersey. He had gotten into a struggle. He wound up having a medical emergency, going to the hospital, and he died the next day after he had been attacked on the line. And then four other police officers from the U.S. Capitol Police, as well as the Metropolitan Police of Washington, D.C., committed suicide after they responded that day, as well as well over 150 cops that were injured. And everybody has seen, images of what happened down there, officers being choked, being, stuck in pinned in doorways, beaten with after they had their police shields and batons taken from them, beaten with American flags and metal poles. It's disgusting. And it's just, we are in a very, very sad state when people are following their politics to an extreme as if it's a religion, where they can actually, excuse, these pardons. Is just, it's disgusting, and everyone should be speaking out against it.
I agree 100%. It is indefensible. Here's what I hear. I hear from the president, other supporters. We had former Senator Norm Coleman on today, and he echoed some of these comments. They will cite what happened with the violence here in Minneapolis. This obviously before you came here. They'll cite the violence in Portland in relation to George Floyd or other protests that turned violent and say those individuals who committed those offenses were not charged, did not serve enough time trying to justify the pardoning of those who committed these violent acts towards police officers on January 6th. I know you've heard this before, but when you hear it again, what is your reaction?
Well, it's certainly not for a lack of desire on the part of the police officers here that some folks who assaulted Minneapolis cops here who threw all kinds of, objects and shot things at them. It's not because of a lack of, the officers here wanting to do that. There were a number of people that have been prosecuted. There were well over, I think about 160 structure fires that happened here that were investigated as arsons by the ATF. I'm not aware of anyone having been charged, convicted, and pardoned for assaulting a police officer here. So, I mean, the two things they're not comparable. I mean, I thought I was clear in saying that we absolutely cannot excuse violent attacks on police whenever they happen, or where, it doesn't matter
exactly
what the political motions underneath them are.
Let me read another part, and I think you have been, and I think it's feeble when people use that as an excuse. If they were not charged strongly enough, they should have been. But to say because of that we're going to let others go doesn't hold up with any credibility at all in any example. So here's another part of your op-ed, which I want to read. And again, Brian's op-ed is in the Star Tribune. This is the police chief of Minneapolis, Brian O'Hara. Make no mistake, this decision will come back to haunt us. The message it sends is dangerous, that violence against police can be excused if it serves a favored political agenda. Can you expand on that? Because I think that's a very important point and why it never should happen. I mean, is that what we're going to be at here, where if it's a Democrat, they're going to pardon if something was more sympathetic and then it goes back to Republican? That's nonsense.
Right. It is. The police are completely apolitical. We are law enforcement. We are the police to be here for everyone. That's the bottom line of how this works in this country. And what's really, really unfortunate and just embarrassing at times is some of the stuff, some of the comments. My wife has told me stuff that she has seen online, some things I have seen by people that are generally otherwise in, for lack of a better term, the pro-police crowd. Excusing these disgusting attacks. It's a shame. I just think it speaks to the larger problem, of where we are with everything being so polarized. We have extremists on both sides that are just crazy. And meanwhile, the vast majority of us are kind of just stuck in the middle.
I want to talk about what's taking place in the country with immigration, with illegal immigration, and this is certainly an issue, undocumented, illegal, whichever phrase individuals prefer, that Donald Trump has been talking about since the escalator. Okay, since 2015, it's been his number one issue. And we're seeing examples of it already in the first week of his administration. You already put out a statement about 10 days ago saying, I recognize that the fear of deportation prevents some people from calling police in times of need or to report a crime. I want to be clear that the enforcement of civil immigration falls exclusively with the federal government. It's not the job of MPD. We know that the federal government has been fanning out across the country. Do you have any examples in Minneapolis, and in any way has the Trump administration reached out to you?
Well, I'm aware of at least one resident that we believe was picked up by immigration authorities within the last week. There may have been more, but we're just not aware of it. As far as, my statement and my concerns, look, we are fighting very real problems that our residents experience around crime and violence. And by and large, if anything, folks who are immigrants here are targeted to be victims of crime. That's what we see. And I have been on scenes where where a mother and her child were shot in an alleyway. And folks that lived on that block, one, did not speak English, and two, were already very concerned about speaking with the police. So the reality is, in order for us to be effective at our job, We need people to be able to call the police when they witness a crime, when they're victimized, so that we can do something about it. If we get into a situation where folks are scared, which could be a significant part of the population because there are a lot of different immigrant populations in the city, if folks are, you know, across the board scared to call us when something bad has happened, or maybe even scared to go to the hospital. I was on the phone this morning with the CEO of Hennepin Healthcare, and people there have reached out with concerns because of folks saying that, you know, ICE will run up in middle schools or they'll go into hospitals to try and locate people. So, I mean, the fear is already very, very real in immigrant communities in the city, and we just don't need that to create a system, to create a situation, if you will, where those people are going to so easily be victimized, even more than they already are.
One last thing, and I know your time is short, and you made time for us, so thank you. So your officers in the normal line of work arrest someone, and it's of a violent nature, and they see someone is an illegal immigrant at that point. Do they do anything in communicating whatsoever with the federal government?
They wouldn't know that because that's not part of our job. The only time we would ask someone about documentation status is if it's in furtherance of a human trafficking investigation, where, you know, immigration and being smuggled into the country as a modern day slave is essentially part of the offense. So we are here to go after the people who are causing harm out there. And we got people out there that are pulling triggers, shooting people, robbing people, breaking into people's houses. Those are the folks we're going after, regardless of whether or not they have papers to be here. Those are the people that we want off the street.
Always appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much for your time. We'll reach out
Thanks
again.
So much. Take care.